Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and can be found on page 807 in the Pew Bible. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Thanks.
As I mentioned earlier, we have just returned from time with my in-laws. And on Friday, my mother-in-law exclaimed, seemingly quite concerned, that it was Epiphany and the Christmas decorations were still up. And so my father-in-law was sent quickly to take the wreath off the front door, so at least it looked from the outside as if the decorations were down. Epiphany, well, to answer your question, or perhaps the question that I had a number of years ago, is traditionally when we celebrate the wise men coming to visit and worship Jesus. It's a time when traditionally many people will take their decorations down. The Christmas celebrations are officially over, although we were a day late because we took the Christmas tree down yesterday, and that was a bit of an epic of clearing up the pine needles from the past 4 weeks. The wise men came to worship Jesus. They followed something amazing. They followed the star that appeared in the sky. And they traveled far, great distances. It must be amazing to look down and see the world, to see the whole of the world. Tim Peake, the British astronaut, who has a book out, it came out in November, Hello, Is This Planet Earth? His view from his time in the International Space Station. And he was able to look down and see the whole Earth, horizon to horizon. An amazing experience. Although he tried to phone home on one occasion, and he got the wrong number. But he would be able to get closer than almost everybody else in the world to the stars, although they would still be so far away. We perhaps through the ages have known many names of many astronomers, Oregon, Galileo perhaps, a tradition of stargazers that stretch back to a time long before Christ. When I was growing up, it was Patrick Muir. Fascinatingly passionate, if somewhat eccentric, astronomer. He was the longest, had the longest running program with the same presenter in television history. His program, Star at Night, first airing 1957, ending 2013. But gazing at the stars, and this is what these wise men were doing, gazing at the stars. Much of the Christmas story is focused on the manger, in a stable, in Bethlehem. But in the visitation of the wise men, the horizons widen as men from a different country, far off, come inquiring about Jesus, seeking him out. Sometimes we have the Advent, the Nativity scene all together at once, but actually there were journeys for all of them. Someone's telling me, and I think we might use this next or this coming Advent, 2017, of building up the Nativity scene throughout Advent. And you might have one in the house, and their suggestion was, and especially if we had, they had kids, was that you would have the wise men starting in one room and the shepherds starting somewhere else and Mary and Joseph somewhere else. And through Advent, they would move around the house and Mary and Joseph would appear in the stable. And then the shepherds would come from whatever route around the house to the stable. And then the wise men. And I like that idea of that journey, that sense of journeying. But it would mean that the wise men wouldn't have appeared until this past Friday. Building up the nativity scene. The decorations are down though, aren't they? And after Christmas and into the start of a new year, we can feel a bit flat, a bit full, perhaps, but a bit flat. The excitement is over. Christmas trees are down. Things can look a bit bare. The presents that have been opened are stored away, perhaps in the drawers, the wrapping paper recycled or binned. But for Christians, the excitement of the Christmas story only gets better. The ongoing work of Christmas continues. Let me read some words from a poem by Howard Thurman. When the song of the angels was stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the wise men are back home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the nations, to make music in the heart. So let us begin. The wise men, as we have read in Matthew chapter 2, travel from far away. And their inclusion in the Christmas story shows us not only that God is in complete control, but it also shows us that the message of a Savior born in that place in Bethlehem, which the angels proclaimed, is not just a message of hope for Bethlehem, not just for Israel, but wider than that, It expands the horizons. From horizon to horizon, this Savior has been born for the whole world. That well-known verse. I wonder how many of us, it's maybe the first verse that we learned in the Bible from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The world, from horizon to horizon. Well, these wise men, let's answer three questions about them. Who were they? Where did they go? What did they do? Well, who were they? Well, we know that they came from the east. It says in verse 1, during the time of King Herod, Magi, wise men, came from the east to Jerusalem. Well, it's a very general comment, isn't it? And as I was preparing for this morning, I put into to Google Maps from directions from my location, from my house to the east. And fair to say, it wasn't very forthcoming in directions. East what? Well, we just know that they came from the east. Everything is left out. Does not matter where exactly they came from. It does not matter exactly how many there were. Traditionally, we think of three, but there were three gifts. We know that. We don't even know what their names were. Traditions have been built up over the years. The Armenian tradition identifying the Magi of Bethlehem as Balthazar of Arabia, Melchior of Persia, and Gaspar of India. Well, they might have been. But how many, their names, their origins, these might be interesting facts, but we're not told these things. But what we are told is in verse 2, the key point. They have come to worship him. We have seen his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Well, they came to Jerusalem. This is where they went. A king of the Jews has been born, so naturally, where do you expect to find the king? Well, you expect to find him in the capital city. And so they go to Jerusalem. When Princess Charlotte was born, in 2015, I was going to say last year, but that's not true, is it? 2015, Princess Charlotte was born, and she was born at St. Mary's Hospital in London, where other royal babies have been born, surrounded by top midwives, surgeons, physicians, and the rest. She was not born in a garage round the back of a house in rural Essex. She was born at St. Mary's Hospital, surrounded by the best. And so naturally, royalty has been born. You go to the capital. The wise men had seen this star, and when it had appeared, they had linked it to a particular king. Jesus was recognized by representatives of the non-Jewish world as the king of the Jews. And they came seeking him out. Well, Herod, he'd heard this. Men from the east asking questions about another king. Well, in Jerusalem, the word went round. Wouldn't you, if you were him, you would have been worried. Another king? Someone trying to take my title, another claim on the throne, perhaps someone with a more legitimate claim to the throne had appeared in the scene. And Herod, the man who throughout his reign had a reputation for being a cruel tyrant with a thirst for blood, saw it as someone who might wish to deprive him of power. And if Herod was troubled, disturbed, verse 3 says, then the whole city would have cause to be troubled too. Disturbed, possibly terrified. But unlike the shepherds who were also terrified and sprung to life and went to visit and worship Jesus, he springs to life and assembles his experts. He gathers the chief priests, his officials, and his scribes, probably the equivalent of lawyers, and he asks them, where is this Messiah to be born? He asks the question, and they respond. Notice that? They respond with a quotation from Micah. He was to be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is 6 miles away from Jerusalem. It's not far. The other side of Edinburgh would be 6 miles away. It's not far. They had been 6 miles up the road. A couple of hours leisurely walk. The person they'd been waiting for had been born 2 hours away, and it didn't register because they had not gone to worship him. You'd have thought perhaps that the chief priests and the scribes would have been the first ones to go to Bethlehem, even at the slightest rumor that a savior they had been waiting for had been born. Paparazzi had waited outside St. Mary's Hospital for hours, perhaps some of them days, waiting for the first glimpse of Princess Charlotte, which was just 10 hours after she was born. Hours and hours and hours waiting just for that little glimpse. And yet the chief priests stayed in Jerusalem. They didn't go. It shows that this baby had not registered with them. How in any way could he be the savior they had been waiting for? John, in his first chapter in his gospel, says Jesus came to his own and his own people did not receive him. He was the wrong type. The long-awaited Messiah born in Bethlehem. That's nonsense, they would have said. Well, Herod wants to get rid of him. He sends the wise men to Bethlehem to find out about the child and report back so that he may destroy this potential upstart. And the wise men, when they saw the star again, they were overjoyed. The star that had guided them to this point takes them on these final 6 miles to Bethlehem. And they go into the house where Jesus was. And they bowed down and they worshipped him. In a domestic dwelling in Bethlehem, this small town, wise men from many miles away come and bow down and worship. And what do they do after that? Well, they give him valuable gifts, befitting a king: gold, frankincense, myrrh. Seen so many nativities over the past month where the children playing that have these gifts, ornate gifts, wrapped up. It's a great honor to be able to carry them in and give them over. And Mary and Joseph, some of the nativities have been well cued. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And a wee nudge if they forget. But they give gold associated with royalty, frankincense meaning pure incense. When it's mentioned, it's in the majority of cases, it's in connection with the religious services and the worship of God. And myrrh used as a perfume to make people smell nice and to perfume the body in death. And without trying to stretch a point too far, the wise men give Jesus presents which are appropriate for his whole life. Gold for a king who is God come to earth. The one who died so that we may be made right with God. The great high priest who will intercede at God's right hand. and the Saviour who will carry the sins of the world on the cross, it is death. And so in this story, that traditionally takes place after Christmas, at the start of a new year, we see that Jesus is King of the whole world. People from the Jews as well as the Gentiles. It starts with Mary and Joseph. It reaches out to the shepherds on the hillside. It reaches across distant lands to the wise men. Each of them coming to worship Jesus. I wonder these three questions that we asked of the wise men, if we asked them of ourselves at the start of a new year. Perhaps like me, perhaps I'm doing you a disservice. On the eighth day of the new year, the resolutions are beginning to waver. Perhaps we are thinking of another however many 350 something days to go. How am I going to keep going with these resolutions this year? But perhaps these are three questions that we maybe should ask ourselves. Who are we? Well, it does not matter who we are, what our history is, what our past is, how we have kept to our promises or not. When we come to Christ, it does not matter who we are or what we've done. His forgiveness, his love can cover all of that. What does matter is that we're worshippers of Jesus Christ, that we come and we bow down and we worship him. And where are we going? The wise men followed. They knew where they were going. They were following this star, and they would go wherever it took them. And so as we look to find our guide, as we open up God's word and we find where we are being led, where are we going in our journey of faith? And as we ask these questions, as we see what the wise men did, they came in and they worshipped and they gave their gifts. What are we going to do about it? As we work out who we are and where we're going, the challenge is, as it was for the wise men, what are we going to do about it? What is our response to this baby? Do we turn and bow down and worship him? Well, pray God that will be for all of us our response this year. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the story of these wise men who came and followed a star which led them to your Son. Lord God, we pray that you would lead us to your Son, that you will help us to follow him in worship and in adoration, bringing our gifts, our time, our talents, our money, and all that we have, knowing that all that we have is given from you. As we have responded today and in other ways throughout this week, we commit ourselves afresh to you. Lord God, help us to be wise people because we know that we are following you. And so hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.